College football, another big weekend in college football. Have you heard about this? Have you seen about this? Have you heard about this? Ohio State versus Iowa in what some people are using the T word, not that T word, get your head out of the gutter. No, we're saying trap game. Could it be? Will it be? Well, we got the guy to answer that question. It's like I'm selling a used car here. I got this 2016 Honda Civic right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. The great Pete Futek joins us here. You're low mileage, though.
I'm a lot of things. You're right. Let me put it this way. You can use the T word on every game for this team up until January 20th.
All right.
That includes Michigan. That includes everyone. There is nobody on this schedule who should come within two touchdowns of this team. So I know it's unfair. It's not right. It's never fair to say, oh, a team needs to go 12-0 or 13-0. This team should go 13-0. There's absolutely no reason other than a complete and utter gag that this team doesn't win every game on its schedule by double digits.
Pete, your friend and mine, Keith Britton, jammed me up for suggesting the T word earlier today. And I have a three-pronged defense on this. One, these are the games that Kirk Ferentz gets good and greased up for. Two, there's historical precedence. They do this all the time. And three, matchup-wise, they might have the trench warfare and the style of football that can turn this into a sludge fight. There, I sold it.
Well, do they, though? I mean, where is the – and I know, like, in, like, 1908 or something when Ferentz just started, I think they, you know, probably won 2-1 or something. But, like, I know there's, like, one I'm missing that's obvious, but when is, like, the last 4 years, that's really kind of all that matters. When in the Ryan Day era has there been a biff in any way?
Well, that's a good point. Because I was thinking more from the Iowa side of things. Weren't they the one that ruined Penn State's perfection last year?
Y'all ain't Penn State. This is a whole other animal. I hear what you're saying. To take this another way, if there is one of those games, you know, Ohio State loses because it turns the ball over five times and it just has one of those games, or kind of like Northwestern a couple years ago where I was by the stadium for that, where you literally had 65-mile-an-hour winds and C.J. Stroud turned into, you know, Josh Allen for a game and just did nothing but run all game long against a bad Northwestern team. It's going to take something quirky like that, because straight up, this team doesn't lose to anybody except Georgia, Alabama. That's it. So it's going to take either Iowa going full Iowa, which means that they are, you know, they control the clock somehow for like 38 minutes. They're +2 in turnover margin. They get a special teams touchdown or a blocked kick, or even more annoying is that Ohio State moves up and down the field, but keeps getting field goals. So all of a sudden, it's like early in the fourth quarter, and it's like 12-3. It's really annoying. Ohio State seems like they're in control, and then all of a sudden you get, you know, a crazy out-of-the-blue run for a 68-yard run for a touchdown, and then it's game on. But here's the fun stat I've come up with. How many games since the beginning of last year has Ohio State given up more than 17 points?
I'd say two.
One, Michigan, and that's the national champion of last year. Iowa ain't scoring more than 17 points, and if it does, well, that's something really crazy is happening, because Iowa doesn't score to begin with. So if Ohio State can score early, they're not – Iowa cannot come back in any way, shape, or form.
Pete, well, I'm going to shift gears a little bit to the Big 12 now, and Shedeur Sanders, Nick and I talked about it a little bit earlier – about a mock draft coming out from Yahoo Sports. Shedeur Sanders going to the Browns, first initial reaction.
Okay, great. You know, look, he's fine. You know, the quarterbacks are kind of risky. You never quite know. But he's as polished as they get for a guy. I mean, he's obviously been as coached and trained up as much as possible. What I like more about him that does not get credit is that he might be the toughest guy in football. That dude gets crushed like 10 times a game, like open field, like guys getting a 10-yard run at him, just full-on blasting shots in that offense. He keeps stepping up. He will hang in there to a fault to the last final second. And he's been able to stay healthy so far despite taking these monster hits. And he does kind of have the it factor. You know, for all the, you know, Deion family stuff and all the cockiness and all that, there's a positive attitude with this when it comes to, yeah, the ball's mine. But let me throw it, you know, 50 times a game because you're better off with that happening than us running the ball. So for good and for bad, he's got the professional mindset and he's got the I am the guy kind of thing happening. So tools-wise, yeah, okay, if it's not him, I'm not exactly sure who else it would be right now.
Don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. Just come on. Have I not been? I had the Baker Wars. I got the Watson Wars.
I just want
peace, Pete. I just want winning football and no BS, friend.
Yeah, but I live in Chicago and I still think they should have Justin Fields. But it's, yeah, I get what you're saying, you know, but that's what you get. But you know what? If he wins, it's fun. You know, winning was great. You don't want, you want Carson Beck? Okay, you know, that's fine, I guess. But if you're assuming that the Sean Watson thing just isn't going to happen, then, yeah, keep taking bites at the apple and keep going after the best quarterbacks. Because there are a lot of them that are coming out this year. And what's going to be really interesting is there's going to be some good value guys out there where you're going to have the guys who have all the tools in the world. And someone's going to fall in love with, like, Tyler Shugg from Louisville. He just can't stay healthy. He's got number one overall draft pick stuff, but he's just never been able to last more than 10 minutes. You know, so there are lots of different quarterbacks out there if you don't want to go with one right out of the gate.
Easy there, Pete. Michigan's going on the road with Washington. This 2.5-point spread on this game? Yeah. You think Washington gets that win and gives Michigan their second loss of the season?
I changed my tune. I just kind of automatically assumed, yeah, Michigan will figure this out. Washington doesn't really have them enough. But Washington might have the right blend. They've got this year's defense is way better than last year's defense. Will Rogers has been good. He's not Michael Penix Jr., but he's hitting like it's a weird combination of those. If you watch this Washington team, because he hits every throw. And yet they can't convert a third down try. So as long as he doesn't make a slew of mistakes, and as long as the style of play that Washington is playing, it keeps the ball, keeps control, they should be all right because Michigan can't throw a lick. So if they're not running for 250 yards, I think Washington actually pulls this off. I before all week I was all Michigan, Michigan, Michigan. I kind of flipped that last night. I kind of think Washington pulls this off, but in a weird sort of way. Yeah, I hate this. This is the dumbest thing with it. I don't know. I think picking Washington, but Michigan to cover. Like a late, like all these Washington games have been really like super close. Like it's going to be like a late field goal or something to pull this off.
Pete, we go back and we're looking at number one Alabama, number two Texas. Those two teams have been unstoppable so far this season. Ohio State, you know, up here where we sit, are those the three biggest best teams right now?
Take Texas out of there. It's everyone fell in love with the Michigan game. Ooh, they whacked around Texas, San Antonio, and Louisiana Monroe. No, they're Texas. They'll blow it. It's Ohio State, it's Alabama, and it's Georgia. And Georgia's actually better than Georgia will win round two, maybe even round three. Georgia, look, I actually was weird enough, and I was on Twitter actually kind of saying this. At 28-0, I thought Georgia was coming back. I just kind of saw what was about to happen. They're just too good for that. And Alabama got their big moment at home. I still think when push is going to come to shove, Georgia's not going to lose anybody else on this schedule. And then they're going to get to the SEC championship, and they're going to get Bama again, and then we'll see from there. But Ohio State's one, Georgia, Alabama two, and then there's like 50 feet, and then Texas. I am not buying Texas. At some point, the running game's going to catch them. Their little tippy-tappy passing game is pretty good, but there's just something. They're really, really fast. I just am not there in terms of just overall talent-wise until someone can step up and slug them in the mouth a little bit. And Michigan should have done that, but they somehow inexplicably forgot to run the ball.
Pete, we got game day in Berkeley, I think, for the first time, well, really ever. I mean, I'm sure it happened before, but I don't remember it. But you buying the hype on number 8 Miami, undefeated, going into Berkeley, it's weird as I'm saying it, against 3-1 Cal?
Try what? Really weird. Look at the Indiana and Rutgers schedules. I'm saying game day is going to USC. I think they might have like a 9-0 Rutgers, or, you know, Indiana with what they have. And there's going to be some weird game day experiences, but absolutely not. Miami's not that good. Again, they got a lot of love because everybody saw them beat up on a bad Florida team. They should have got tagged with the loss of Virginia Tech. And with the whole Cam Ward Heisman hype, yeah, it's because, you know, they had a couple good games, but it's Cam Ward. He's really awesome. He's going to be a late first-round kind of pick. But he also makes mistakes in key moments as well. And you kind of saw that a little bit at Virginia Tech. The problem, though, is Miami doesn't play anybody. They don't play Clemson. Florida State's awful. The rest of their schedule stinks. You know, so they're going to be one of those teams that all of a sudden, oh, Miami's good because they're 11-1. And then they'll get in the college football playoff and just get absolutely flattened by, you know, like a Penn State or an Ole Miss in some sort of 7-10 game.
Who hurt you? You're too young. You're just. They're gonna blow it. You're Andy Quaid from Major League Two right now with half the teams in college football, Pete.
I'm older than both of you two combined. So yes, I'm scarred from a lot. Look, it's Steve Sarkisian, 7-win Sark. Look at it. We know how this works. You know, Texas is. You know, they should have just destroyed Washington last year, and then they finally figured out with 2 minutes to go, hey, maybe let's throw the ball with Quinn Ewers in this passing game. It's like, again, don't biff it. So, but we know how this works. We at this point, we know exactly how college football rolls. We're having some fun, some laughs. Oh, game day. This is fun, killing some time. And it's going to be Ohio State versus the Georgia-Bama winner for the national championship.
Pete, we appreciate you, buddy. Good stuff.
Later, guys.
Thanks, Pete Futek on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Get back to something Pete said later, because I do want to get to the Ohio State trap game with you later in the show. But when we come back, it's all about who you root for, and that's what makes this series with the Guardians and Tigers so tough. Just not in the way you thought about it or have thought about it. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. There's a lot of foods I won't eat in front of other people, because there's already a natural bias against a man of my dimensions eating that I already don't look good eating things, because I look like a starved dog. Like you catch me eating ribs and they're like, who is that feral creature over there? I'm like the male version of Nell, if anybody remembers that movie. Got my own language and everything. But apples, sneakily will not do those either. Just can't.
What about like a club sandwich? What about, you know, it's like a triple decker club sandwich?
Where you got like almost have to press the sandwich down to chomp on it?
Yes.
Not, won't do it.
No.
No.
All right.
Like that's, you know, like for a long time, yeah, like I'll eat a burger in public because it doesn't last. And again, strong hands, ground beef, you can compress it. But like for a long time growing up, like as a heavy set kid, I was like, I'm going to eat chicken tenders in public because it's safe. Because everybody would be like ribs are a great one. Steak's pretty discreet. So I'd eat a steak in public. But like there's just so many foods that if you are a fat guy, everyone, it's like 10%, like adds on the shame points. I'm like, you looked like very suggestive looking like when you eat a hot dog. Like they're just this fat dudes don't look good eating food. Again, it looks like we're famished. It looks like there's like a medical condition at play. Like we're like zombies, but like substituting like vegan zombies instead of eating human flesh. No, we've actually gone to animal flesh.
I'm just hoping that I don't develop some type of complex now of just looking at night. Like I'm going to have this dream and I'm going to be opening my eyes and Nick's going to be walking in my room while I'm eating an apple. And I'm going to be like, oh boy.
Well, I won't be there for the apple.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate that. Thanks, Nick.
So we do have the 5 of 5 coming up. But I'll be honest with you. I think you know, we started the show. Are you nervous? Are you excited about the Guardians? And the last time I checked, and you guys can vote at Nick Wilson says, I think it was like 70% of people saying excited, 30% saying nervous. I think what's been really interesting to watch is the push and pull of, oh, crap, The Tigers are for real. At the same point, the other thing is the elimination of the Orioles and Astros, I think, has given people some more hope that you could go the distance, because all of a sudden it feels like the only true thing in your way is the Yankees and the AL.
Well, and I think looking at it right now, yeah, that's a huge proponent right there of getting those two teams out of it that played pretty good baseball all season long. And, you know, for me looking at this, early on we talked about it. I'm still looking at it from this perspective of being nervous as a fan. And the reason I say that is playing at this high level and being in the locker room and knowing what it takes to win games, that's a tough sell for me right now, knowing how hot the Tigers are.
Does the elimination of the – or are you one of those people that the Orioles and Astros getting out of the playoffs means you're a little bit more confident the Guardians can make a run?
I say Astros, yes. Orioles, or the O's, Orioles. I was thinking like food right now, right?
You looked
I'm
at
thinking
me,
like dunking Oreos.
You looked at the fat man and you thought Oreos. It's okay. All right, I'll be honest. I'll take that association.
Right, there we go.
Because when I look at myself, I also think I should get some Oreos.
Well, we were at Walmart last night, and I'm looking at Oreo thins right now, and I'm like, oh man, those are so tasty.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing: nobody asked for Oreos thins. Like, nobody asked for that. This is a double stuff community here that we're going for.
Right,
thank
all day
you very
long.
Much.
I'll take the double stuff too. But getting back to the O's. I wasn't a big sell on them. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at it, they didn't play great baseball down the road. And it showed yesterday and the day before with the Royals beating up on them. Now, with the Astros losing out, yeah, that makes it easier on that side of it. You still have to go up against the juggernaut, though, in the Yankees. I mean, until they aren't in the playoffs year in and year out, you have to worry about them.
So there's always this catch-22. I think this, you know, we just had Pete Futek talking about Ohio State and this Iowa game. Is it a challenge? Is it a trap game? Whatever. I do think if you're going to win at some point, you need to be challenged in a real way. And so I think if I'm a Tigers fan, I'm like, all right, this team did have one more win against us than we had against them this season. And also, you know, the one kernel of doubt you should have if you're a Detroit fan is you haven't lost yet in the postseason. And losing in the postseason is a different mental hit than it is losing in the regular season. It's just a different thing. The pressure amplifies in a way that is not – if you don't have postseason experience, you don't know what that's like, right?
I would say losing, yes, but I think it depends on when you lose those games. Mm-hmm. If you go up 1-0, okay, so you're losing 1-0, right? You're down 0-1, I'm sorry. And then you come back and win that. Now it's even. It's an even match. It's 1-1. Mm-hmm. Now, if you win the first game and then you lose the next two games, now it's an uphill climb because it's a five-game series. So I think it's when you lose those games, and especially like home field advantage-wise, I think that plays into it. But going back to it, the Tigers right now, they have nothing to lose right now in these games. They've already beat the Astros. They're on a high cloud right now coming in and facing the Guards.
I just think it's funny, this idea, because if somebody does beat us in the playoffs, that next round, we're kind of rooting against them, right? And what was interesting, and I just think back to the Houston Texans, I was surprised how many people that were like, people, that after the Texans beat the Browns, they were like, well, okay, I like C.J. Stroud. So if they made a deep run, like that's one of the first times I can remember being like, that team beat us in the playoffs. I kind of want them to keep succeeding. And I think it's interesting. If the Tigers do beat you, you can't possibly root for the Yankees, right? You're going to have to root for the Tigers to represent the American League because bleep the Yankees.
Well, I will tell you this. You ask any Cleveland fan, whether it's the Browns, whether it's the Guards, whether it's the Cavs, they will never in 100 years cheer for anything Detroit. They won't ever cheer for anything north of the border.
What's interesting about that is, because you're right, I do think Detroit's kind of like an underrated there was the Cavs and Pistons teams, the Bad Boys in the 80s. There was, like, in your time playing in the aughts, you had some taste of a little rivalry there.
You did.
Between the Indians and the Tigers. But yet, what's the one thing Guardians fans hate more than
I mean,
Tigers?
Everybody can say, right? It's Yankees.
The Yankees.
Yeah, all day long.
And it's funny, going back to before the AL Central, the Yankees, I mean, the Indians were in the boat like 90% of the AL. if you were in a division with the Yankees, you hated the Yankees more than anybody else.
Well, and I look at it this. If the Guards lose that series, right, if they lose this series against the Tigers, I'm probably going to be done watching the AL side of it. I'll go on and I will cheer for every single NL team to go up and destroy the AL teams for that reason. And I have a little take in it only because the Padres, they have some people that I know very, very well. And I'm very close to still to this day. So I would be cheering and rooting on the Padres to go as deep as possible if the Guards aren't there.
So I also like that the Padres are a small market team.
Very much so.
And even though they don't spend like it because there's no competition in that market, I also like the idea that you traded your best player who wasn't going to re-sign with you, and then you go win a World Series. That's boss. I will say, in the AL, even if the Tigers beat the Guardians, I'm going to have to root for them. And unless it's the Royals, then I don't think I have a dog in that fight. But if the Guardians don't advance beyond the ALDS, I'm going to have to be anybody but the Yankees or Dodgers. Because the thing that I always root for, the thing we don't get enough, is like the Royals in 2013. That small market team comes up and win a World Series. I know baseball hates it I think baseball's mentality is the World Series is best when you have the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Cubs. The White Sox haven't been there in 20 years, but the White Sox,
Braves,
the Braves. I think maybe Texas, even though they're not seen as a big market. I mean, that Dallas is a top five market in America, so. There's the Cardinals in a way because they're like a historically like great team. So there's like 11 teams that they want in the postseason. The thing that I love about this postseason, and again, this is the thing that I'm going to try and keep in perspective. The Tigers winning over you is going to suck if it does happen. But I'd rather root for those people than the Yankees, much in the same way I'd rather root for the Padres or the Brewers than the Dodgers or the Phillies.
So let's do it this way. Let's say the Royals take out the Yanks.
Mm-hmm.
Are you rooting for the Tigers or the Royals at that point?
I'm rooting for the NL at that point. Actually, right. Honestly.
Why? I mean, at that point, it just shows how strong the AL Central really, really is.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
Oh, boy.
Like, people who do that thing of like, well, a win for the AL Central is a win for the... No, it's not. No, it'll just be a reminder that my team could have done that. And they did. Are you one of those AL Central truthers over there?
No, I'm really not. I just want to play devil's advocate right here.
And I appreciate that honesty because I'll be honest, if you were like, yeah, go Royals, I'd be like, I'm going to need you to stop talking now and exit stage left.
Ouch.
I'm going to need you to go eat another apple in front of me here. No
apple pie for you.
Oh, okay. I mean, I take it all back. 216-474-0092. Will you be rooting for the winner of this ALDS series, regardless of who it is? That answer is complicated because it is totally dependent on what you do. But getting back to it, because I think I lost my train of thought on this, there is a part of me that's like, as much as I'd love to take on the Royals, more so than the Yankees. And listen, the Royals have Bobby Witt Jr. That dude is capable of taking over a series single-handedly, and he didn't have to in the first round of the playoffs. Like, they had a lot of guys pitching in on that win there. What I will say is, as much as I'd love, hey, give me as easy of a path to a title as possible, I don't think it works that way. Selfishly, if you can give me the Tigers, then the Royals, so two wild card teams, and then like the Rockies in the World Series who aren't even in the playoffs, I'd take it. You're going to have to beat somebody really good to win a World Series. And I think that's the sooner you face that test of a team that you're like, I think they're better than us, a team that you go in saying, I don't know we can beat them, the sooner you have that kind of win, the sooner I think you actually might truly be a World Series contender.
I think the looking at it from the NL perspective, they have some stronger teams than the AL does currently right now with just the way they're playing the baseball game.
So I know Dodgers and Phillies. I guess there's four teams left. Well, no, that's not true because
No, there's still five right now.
Yeah, there's still five going right now. Man, I think the Braves are totally screwed without Sale, so I would like to see the Braves advance. Just because at some point, it's like the Guardians when you lost Cookie, when you lost Bauer in the playoffs too, where you're like, you went from three guys to start a game to one. That's going to catch up with you. That's going to catch up with the Braves. I'd prefer it's in the World Series against the Gardos and we get revenge for 95. 216-474-0092. Will you be rooting for the winner of this ALDS series between the Guardians and Tigers no matter what? Mike and Stowe, we'll come back with you. More to come on 92.3 The Fan. There's a lot of toxic fan bases in baseball, but Mets fans are the most negative, whiny bees on the planet. And then they win three games in a row, and it's the greatest team ever. It's like, I cannot handle your issues, your personal baggage with Mets. I cannot handle Mets fans' personal baggage. Can't
they are soft as babies' backside.
And here's the thing. Like, the opposite is the Phillies. They'll punch you out for saying, like, have a nice day. Like, so there's, like, almost any fan base from the NL East, you kind of got to watch out for in one way or another. But I got to say this. I think, and I know why they do this, leagues always try and plan out the schedule perfectly to start the World Series on this date, and the latest possible date is this. Totally respect that. If you're going to have a three-game series before the ALDS, I think the second, if both ALDSs, or sorry, if both wild card rounds in a specific league end in a sweep, I want the DS moved up like a day or two. This waiting 2 days, it's for the birds. It's absolutely nonsensical.
Well, it plays out to the wild card teams that just won because they get to set the rotation again. And you know, when you earn the right to be a first seed or a second seed, and like you just mentioned, I agree wholeheartedly that if you do move it up one day, you're already set as the division winner to get what you need. But to give the wild card the opportunity to get set, to get fresh and re-energized, I don't like it.
Well, here's the other thing. It's just a pacing thing. Like, these last couple of days have been amazing. I mean, with baseball starting at 2 and going all the way till 11 o'clock at night, it invokes the idea of like March Madness. And so I know that you don't want to have 2 p.m. ALDS games because these are, that's fine. But still, give me that 8 p.m. first pitch. Give it to me as soon as you possibly can. Again, if one team, like in the NL, one team got the sweep, the other team's fighting tonight, the Brewers-Mets trying to finish off that series, or will finish off that series tonight, okay, don't do it. But, like, this idea that the leagues have to be in lockstep, no. I think within the league, that's fair, that each round goes to the same length. But from the AL to the NL, nah. Because I think in the end, it'll even out in the wash.
So are you a fan of, the Guards have the 1 o'clock game on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a fan of baseball, playoff baseball, being in the afternoon? Or are you a fan going to a game and being able to see it at evening?
I'm an evening baseball guy. I think it just has a different feel to it. And I think they buried the Guardians game at that 1 p.m.
Oh, big time, right? It's all about the Yankees at that point, you know, about the ratings and everything else. And that's why I asked you that, is because I would rather see an evening game here in Cleveland. Oh, my goodness, man. Outstanding atmosphere.
Well, and so with that, you know, you've got the Dodgers and Padres, so big market. Here's an 8:38 game. I'm going to go ahead and say that the Mets and Phillies, I actually don't know when their first pitch is going to be. I think it's probably going to be like a 4 o'clock game, I would assume. But don't hold me to that because I'm guessing on that. But like, even that, like, what are we doing here? Like, and in that case, you're kind of bearing the Phillies even, although Phillies and Brewers probably didn't have the same punch as Philly and Mets. 216-474-0092. We were just asking you there, if regardless of who wins this series, will you be rooting for the winner of this series to represent the AL? Because hashtag bleep the Yankees. Mike and Stowe, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy. Good to hear from you.
So I'm with Jason. I could not root for Detroit or the Yankees. Both hatred. I would have to pass and go on to a yard work option, maybe root canal. I don't know. And then hope that, like I said, the way I really hope it plays out would be the only team in the American League I think I could root for other than the Guardians at this point would be KC, as long as we don't face them in the next round and then they beat us. I'm with him. I'd go to the National League at that point and just hope for whoever it is to beat whoever represents us. But my point is this. I want everybody's afraid of Tarik. Look, we hit him. We knocked him around pretty good. We hit him. We hit 10 hits off that guy when we faced him this year. We just didn't hit in the right spots. You know, we're good for hitting guys that just put the heat down the middle. You know, we're not bad. We're contact hitters, so I'm not afraid of him so much. I think we can, you know, not. I think we can work with that. Get to our bullpen. We got to hit it early. I think get the first game early, quick. Get the momentum shut down on them. They are running hot. I think that has a lot to do with it, but I'm not afraid of Tarik. Let's get this going.
Mike, I love the confidence, buddy. You are excited, not nervous. I need that energy from you. Appreciate you, bud. All right, so I think it's smart to start Skubal in that game two on normal rest because it's so early in the playoffs. You're going to need him healthy and not worn down, so this makes sense. The downside of it is if Cleveland takes that first game at home, he was able to set the table in game one. And it is a different feeling. I mean, we're talking a lot about, okay, who are the Tigers once they lose a playoff game? At the same point, I want to put as much pressure on Skubal in game two as possible. And how you do that, one, it's at home for Cleveland, so that's a nice thing. But how you do that is you take game one. You take game one, all of a sudden he's got his back up against the wall. They've got their back up against the wall. Let's see if you can take those first two games. Because you take those first two games, because I do think you only need to get to them once. But the earlier you get to him, the better chance you have to go ahead and make this a short series and then kind of, you know, hopefully move on to the Royals and not the Yankees. But, well, you know, you can't really work with that.
You win game one, you get to him in game two, you're probably not going to have to worry about facing him a second time in the series based on what the guards have in their lineup as well as what they have in the bullpen.
I think what's wild is it's going to be a really interesting test here. I hope I'm right that the Tigers' bullpen isn't as good as the numbers say they are. And the reason why I say that is you're going to try and win this series the same way. You're going to try, both of you are going to do a lot of leaning on that bullpen. And your bullpen is more elite. I mean, your bullpen is historically good, so that should give us a lot of confidence here. But the difference maker will end up being, all right, if they go as a bulk man to Casey Mize, what does his three innings look like Gavin's three innings? So it's just, the more we talk about it, I think people are talking me off the ledge a little bit, but I'll say this, it's the only way I'm going to the NL, because I will, inevitably, I will root for the small market, because I am a sucker like that. I'm going to need the Brewers to polish off the Mets so that I got a 50% chance of a small market team coming out of the NL, because then it's an easy decision if it's not the Guardians in the World Series.
Well, hopefully we don't have to worry about that, right? Hopefully the Guardians show up, they play hard, they get past this series here, and then they move on and, you know, whoever they face, whether it's the Yankees, whether it's the Royals, you know, they do their damage. And I think looking at this series, though, you know, going more in depth, I like, and I've already mentioned it, but I like the rotation that the guards are going to be placing together. I don't like the Tigers' rotation. I don't like that they're going to set, you know, Skubal down and have him go game two. I know that he needs his regular rest. But I'm also looking at this from the perspective that you have to win game one to keep that momentum going.
So we do have some rumors out there about the ceremonial first pitch for the ALDS. Working to confirm it, I might have set the bar too high. So I'm gonna put out a couple tweets to see if what I'm seeing is in fact for real. If it is, we'll get to that later in the show. We do have Scott Braun, a host of Foul Territory, to talk us through these playoff matchups coming up at 6:20 tonight. But when we come back, guys, it is time for the 5 at 5 with Nick Wilson and Jason Stanford right here on 92.3 The Fan.